All right, so today we're going on a deep dive that, well, it's kind of a journey, right?
Sure.
We're talking about mountain shrines.
Okay.
And specifically, we're going to be looking at Gurinar in Gujarat
Yeah.
and the legendary Mount Kailash in the Himalayas.
Yeah.
And the really interesting thing is the source material for this is just all over the place. We've got historical accounts, we've got architectural studies, we've got religious texts, even personal stories of pilgrimages. So
Oh.
this is going to be quite a climb, I think.
It sounds like it. What I think is so interesting about mountains like this is they're not just geographic landmarks, you know.
Right.
They're so powerful as symbols. They're completely intertwined with the history and the beliefs and the practices of so many different religions
Yeah,
over so
okay.
many centuries.
So to kind of kick things off, let's head over to Gurinar.
Okay.
And the sources describe this mountain as rising dramatically from the plains of Gujarat.
Yeah.
And it's just dotted with all these ancient Jain temples that almost look like they're clinging to the slopes.
Yeah. Gurinar is a sacred site for Jains, and it draws pilgrims from all over on these really arduous journeys to the summit.
Yeah, and you see this theme over and over again in the different sources, the difficulty of actually getting to the temples.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at one pilgrim's account here, and they describe the ascent as a test,
Oh, wow.
not just of the body, but of the spirit. They're talking about it as a physical manifestation of their devotion. What makes this specific climb so important for Jains?
I think for Jains, it goes beyond just the physical. Every step, every single climb is meaningful to them
Okay.
spiritually. They believe that every action has consequences, even the smallest ones. Like even if you brush against an insect, that generates karma.
Oh.
So that arduous climb up Gurinar with all of the potential for these little encounters, that becomes a way to purify the soul and to accumulate positive karma.
So it's not even just about like getting to the top, it's
Well,
about how
hey,
you get there.
it's about every single action that you take on that journey.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And the sources even talk about how the pilgrims measure their progress not by miles,
Wow.
but in acts of prostration. So they will literally lie face down on the ground, showing their humility and asking for forgiveness for any harm they might have caused along the way.
I'm trying to picture that in my mind,
Yeah.
and it's pretty powerful stuff. I mean, it's hard to even grasp that level of devotion from, sitting here looking at these
Oh,
pages.
that's for sure.
So while Gurinar is clearly a really important site for Jains, Mount Kailash has a different kind of significance,
It
right?
does, yeah. So Gurinar, we're talking about primarily a Jain pilgrimage site, but Mount Kailash is revered by Hindus, by Buddhists, by Jains, and by Bun.
Wow.
It's often referred to as the Axis Mundi, you know,
Yeah.
like the symbolic center of the world.
Talk about an axis mundi.
I know, right?
I mean, I'm trying to picture this mountain, and the sources describe it as just this awe-inspiring peak, almost otherworldly.
It's like this snow-capped pyramid rising up against the backdrop of the Tibetan plateau. So it's a visual that evokes this sense of awe and reverence, really, across these different cultures.
Yeah. And you can't talk about Mount Kailash without talking about the Kora, right?
Right.
That's the circumambulation ritual around the base of the mountain.
Yeah, the Kora is considered a really important act for all the religions that practice it.
Right.
But what's so interesting is the rituals and the symbolism of it
Yeah.
really varies depending on the belief system.
Okay.
So for Hindus, for example, this is a journey to Shiva's abode. But for Buddhists, it's path towards enlightenment.
So even though they're walking the same path, physically, it's a completely different experience
Yeah,
spiritually.
exactly. Depending on your beliefs.
So how does that actually kind of play out? Can you give us some specific examples?
Sure. So for example, a Hindu pilgrim, they might perform specific rituals at certain points along that Kora. They might be chanting mantras and offering prayers to Shiva. But a Buddhist pilgrim might be focusing on meditating on, say, impermanence or the nature of reality as they walk.
So the same path, but they're engaging with it in completely different ways
Yeah,
based on what they believe.
exactly. And I think the landscape itself really plays a role in shaping those experiences. I mean, you think about the scale of the mountain, the terrain,
Right.
that sense of isolation, that
Yeah.
all contributes to that spiritual atmosphere.
So we're seeing how the geography really interacts with the religious practices.
Absolutely.
But I want to go back to the visual experience for a second. I'm thinking about the concept of darshan.
Right.
That visual contact with a deity or a sacred object,
Yeah.
which is so important in Hinduism, could the visual impact of these mountains themselves be a form of darshan?
You know, I think so. The grandeur of these mountains, the way they dominate the landscape, I think that can definitely be seen as a form of darshan.
And you know, it's interesting because the sources mention that Mount Kailash has never been climbed in modern times.
Really?
And is that because it's so sacred?
I think so. There's a sense that actually climbing to the summit would be disrespectful, almost like violating its sanctity. It's
Right.
revered as an entity in and of itself.
It's not a peak to be conquered.
Exactly. And what's even more interesting is that some scholars think that Mount Kailash might have been a sacred site even before the major religions arrived in that region, maybe even going back to prehistoric times.
That's amazing. A place that's been revered for thousands of years.
Yeah.
It really makes you think about the connection between humans and these mountains, how they've inspired awe and devotion across generations.
It really does. It's a reminder that there's so much more to these pilgrimages than meets the eye. They're complex.
Yeah.
They're layered experiences that are shaped by history, belief, and the landscape itself.
So we've established that both Giri Nar and Mount Kailash are incredibly significant sites. They each draw these pilgrims on challenging and spiritually meaningful journeys. But I'm still wondering, what is it about these particular mountains, about their specific landscapes, that makes them so unique and that shapes the experiences of the people who go to them?
That's a great question, and it's definitely something that we can dig into a little deeper as we explore more of these sources. So
Okay.
stay tuned.
We've been talking about these landscapes, Giri Nar and Mount Kailash, and how they shape the pilgrimages to these mountains. But it's not just about the visual, is it? I mean, the sources talk about the sensory experience being so powerful, the sounds, the smells, even the thin air at those high altitudes.
It really is a multisensory experience. I mean,
Yeah.
think about the sound of the wind whipping through the valleys, or, the silence up in the high peaks, the scent of juniper, wildflowers, that kind of thing. These aren't just backdrops to the
Right.
experience. They really heighten that whole spiritual atmosphere.
One pilgrim described feeling almost like stripped bare by the harsh beauty of Giri Nar. Like all pretense just melted away. I imagine that vulnerability would make you more receptive to the spiritual aspect of the journey.
Absolutely. And these sensory experiences are often woven into the religious practices themselves.
Okay.
So if you think about the chanting of mantras during the kora around Mount Kailash, it almost becomes a conversation with the landscape,
Right.
with the echoes bouncing off the mountain walls.
And several accounts mention the sound of temple bells being carried on the wind as the pilgrims climb Giri Nar. It's like this constant reminder of the sacredness of the place, right?
Exactly. It's not just about getting to the destination. It's about being present in each moment of the journey. And the landscape helps you do that. It
Yeah.
keeps pulling you back to that awareness.
There's also this theme of isolation in the sources. Both Giri Nar and Mount Kailash are pretty remote, far from everyday life.
That remoteness adds another layer to the whole thing.
Okay.
It's about removing yourself physically from distractions,
Yeah.
creating space to think, to connect more deeply with the divine, or even just with yourself.
It's almost like a pilgrimage within a pilgrimage.
I like that.
You journey to the mountain and then you ascend, you're going inward as well.
Stripping away the layers,
Yeah.
both physically and mentally to reach a more authentic place.
We've talked about the physical challenges, the sensory experience, the sense of isolation. But there's something else about these mountains. They're not just places, they're also powerful symbols.
Mountains in general hold so much symbolic meaning in different cultures.
Yeah.
They represent strength, stability, transcendence, that connection between earth and heaven.
And those meanings are often reflected in the myths and the legends associated with these specific mountains, like Mount Kailash, for example.
In Hindu mythology, that's
Yeah.
considered the abode of Shiva.
The god of destruction and creation.
That's right. So the mountain itself embodies Shiva's power.
Yeah, his ability to destroy and to create.
Wow.
And then for Buddhists, Mount Kailash is associated with Thimchog,
Okay.
who's a wrathful deity and represents the triumph over ego and illusion.
So it's not just climbing a mountain,
No.
it's engaging with those ancient stories.
Right, and those powerful archetypes, every step takes on that meaning. So it becomes this much richer, more layered experience.
I keep thinking about that concept of Axis Mundi, that
Right.
idea of a central point connecting heaven and earth.
Yeah.
And that seems so relevant to mountains like Kailash, doesn't it?
It does. The mountain literally reaching up towards the sky. Its base is rooted firmly in the earth, so it becomes that visual representation.
But it's not just visual. The
No.
sources describe this feeling of being closer to something divine, of
Yeah.
transcending the earthly realm.
And the Axis Mundi, it's not unique to Hinduism, or Buddhism.
Right.
It pops up in many cultures around the world. It makes you think about that human desire to connect with something bigger than ourselves.
To search for meaning in something larger than our own individual lives.
And maybe mountains offer that focal point because they're so grand and mysterious.
They're like signposts pointing us toward the transcendent, reminding us that there's more to life than what we see on the surface.
Okay, so we've explored the landscape, the sensory experiences, the symbolism, all of these things that shape the religious experience at these mountain shrines. But there's another piece here.
Okay.
The role of community.
Right.
The shared experience of the pilgrimage.
So many of these journeys are undertaken in groups.
Right.
And the sources really highlight how important that is to see these images of pilgrims helping each other at those tough climbs.
Yeah.
Sharing food, sharing stories, offering encouragement.
Like they're strengthening their bonds with each other.
Yeah.
And with their faith.
Through the shared challenges.
There's something so powerful about that.
Yeah.
It reminds us that spirituality isn't always a solitary pursuit.
It can be something you experience together.
Right.
Something that binds us to something larger.
That sense of connection, of belonging.
Can be so transformative.
Especially in a world that feels so fragmented.
It makes you think about the role of pilgrimage, not just in these ancient traditions, but also in our modern society.
Yeah, people are finding their own ways to create those journeys.
Absolutely.
Those experiences of self-discovery and spiritual exploration.
You see it in solo trekking, adventure travel.
People going to these remote, challenging environments.
There's a real hunger there.
Yeah.
Even if it's not connected to a specific religion.
It seems like we're hardwired for this kind of searching.
Yeah.
This desire to push our limits and connect with something bigger.
Yeah. And mountains provide the perfect backdrop for that.
They really draw us in.
They do.
They challenge us and maybe even help us discover something new.
About ourselves and the world around us.
Yeah.
That's what makes mountain shrines so fascinating, so enduring. Mm-hmm. They're not just places of worship.
Right.
They're places of transformation.
Yeah.
Where the physical and the spiritual, the individual and the collective, it all comes together.
Yeah.
They're places that remind us of our own potential for growth, for connection, for transcendence.
So what stands out to you about this deep dive?
Yeah.
What are your key takeaways? Wow, we've really scaled some incredible heights today, haven't we? Talking about mountain shrines.
We have.
From the tough climbs of Girnar to that sort of mystical aura of Mount Kailash. I mean, it's clear these aren't just mountains.
No.
They're landscapes that are just infused with this spiritual significance and human stories going back centuries.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey. Exploring how these landscapes and the physical challenges, those sensory experiences we talked about, symbolism, how it all comes together to shape the way people experience faith. And it makes me think that even if we never actually get to visit these places, there's still a lot we can learn from these pilgrimages, you know?
Absolutely. And I keep thinking about those images of the pilgrims prostrating themselves, like with every step on the kora around Mount Kailash.
Yeah.
Such a powerful image of devotion.
Yeah. And surrender.
Does that resonate with anything in the Jain approach to pilgrimage at Girnar?
It does, yeah. Remember how we were talking about the Jain belief that every action has these karmic consequences?
Yeah.
So for them, that whole ascent of Girnar is like a moving meditation.
Uh-huh.
It's a way to purify the soul with every step, every breath. So even though it looks different on the outside, there's that shared understanding that the journey itself is this spiritual practice.
And you know, something that really stuck with me from all the source material was the idea that Mount Kailash has never been climbed.
Oh, right.
In modern times.
Yeah.
Like people just don't do it. And it's a real testament to the power of belief.
Yeah.
The respect people have for a place that is too sacred to conquer.
Yeah. And maybe in a world that's so obsessed with achievement, you know, that's a really powerful message about restraint.
Yeah.
About respecting something bigger than ourselves.
So before we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with something to think about.
Okay.
Imagine you had the chance to go on a pilgrimage to either Girnar or Mount Kailash.
Okay.
What challenges do you think you would face? What would you hope to find?
Would you be drawn to that, you know, discipline, the physical and spiritual discipline of climbing Girnar and those seemingly endless steps?
Right.
Or would you feel that pull of Mount Kailash, that mystical energy?
Yeah.
That yearning to walk those ancient paths? What inner mountains would you be hoping to overcome?
I mean, it's a pretty powerful question.
Yeah.
Because in the end, these pilgrimages,
yeah,
They're a reflection of our own journeys through life.
They are, with all the challenges and the triumphs.
I mean, we each have our own mountains to climb, right?
We do.
Not just literally, but metaphorically.
That's right.
And maybe by looking at these pilgrimages,
you know, understanding what motivates people to undertake them, what they experience, maybe we can find some inspiration to face our own challenges.
Yeah.
With a little more courage, a little more resilience.
A little bit of that transcendence.
We've covered a lot of ground today, exploring these incredible sites of devotion and the ways they shape the human experience.
We have.
But like any good pilgrimage,
yeah,
I think this is just the beginning.
There's always more to learn, more to discover.
That's the beauty of it.
It is.
So until next time, keep exploring, keep seeking, and keep diving deep.